If everybody's obeyed the Lord, I'm not going to drag it out now. If you need to, be obedient, please do. But we don't want to. I want you to turn. I don't know what chapter I told you. Genesis 11 is where I want to read just a, well, Genesis 12, I guess, be just about as well. Let's do read in Genesis 11, verse 31. And if you'd just be kind enough to allow me to pray this morning, I'll pray before I read. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this morning. And Lord, I just thank you for the good Spirit of God that's passed by here. And really, Lord, I don't know. Maybe we ought to just shout it out and sing some songs of Zion. But Lord, I'm going to try to just share a few little thoughts this morning to help your people. And Lord, really, they're so simple that unless you touch it, unless you help me, very well could seem to be an insult to your people. I ask you to help them. I ask you to help me. And Lord, just help us as a church. We've got so many hurting people and struggling people. I ask you to help them, Father. Lord, we've got so many lost loved ones that need to be saved or reclaimed. I don't know what they need, but you do. God, would you speak to them? I know it's grace. We can't earn your favor for you to deal with them, but would you in grace deal with our lost loved ones and draw them to you and save them? God, would you help me this morning? I don't even know if I'm supposed to preach, Father, but would you just help me to just may your unseen hand just guide me, Lord. That's all I know to say. Have your way. Be glorified and honored. If there's one that's wayward, would you speak to them? If there's one that's unsaved, would you awake them and say, thank you again for your presence, Father. Thank you. Help us now. I sure do love you. Overcome my inability and insufficiency, and just do this morning what needs doing, and I'll thank you and praise you for it. You must increase, Father. I must decrease. Please allow that to happen. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen. And amen. Well, this is a very familiar passage. I got to looking at this yesterday and thinking about this, and it seemed like the Lord just kind of directed me over this way. Maybe Friday night late, or Thursday night late, and I worked on it Friday and some yesterday. And really, what I'm going to say, I kind of sat down and just put together what was being said, and really, I'm not going to say anything that you don't know. And sometimes I almost struggle. If I can get a little nugget or a little truth, maybe a little hidden truth or something, and bring out, a lot of times in my flesh, I feel a whole lot better about maybe preaching like that than I do just preaching something that I know you know. But the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of things we know that grow cold to us. They get dusty, if I could say it that way. And even Peter knew that. He was stirring up their pure minds by way of remembrance. He used that word remembrance in a positive sense several times. And I do know the devil can take your memory and use it against you. But can I tell you, memory's a precious thing. When you can go back and remember when the Lord saved you, when He saved your children, and And you can go back and see the hand of the Lord that's delivered you and brought you through when there wasn't a way. He made a way. The memory becomes important. It can be used in a godly sense. And so today I'm really not going to talk to you about anything that's going to be rocket science or something difficult. But you know, I've really found this out. The Christian life's not a difficult life. It's really a very simple thing. If I could say it this way, just serve God, obey Him, do what He tells you to do, and everything will work out all right. Now, really, we say that, and we amen that, and we shake our head. We know in our heart that's so. But we struggle doing that. I want to look at a fella today named Abram, later called Abraham. And here's what he was. He was a pagan. He was from Ur of the Chaldees. Now, really, there wasn't an Israel at the time he lived. There wasn't a chosen people. He's going to be the beginning of this thing. And the fact of the matter is, he's ungodly, but we're going to find out he received the blessings of God. He received the blessings. Let me back up and say it again. He received the full blessings of God. Now, can I say everybody on planet Earth is blessed by God? It rains on the just and on the unjust. And if you're sitting on this pew and you're backslid as you can be, you're still sitting under the blessings of God. You have air to breathe, most likely a place to sleep and food on the table. We could go through the different things. But here's a fella who was a pagan. He knew nothing of God, but he ended up being blessed mightily of God. And how was it? Simple. I mean, I'm going to tell you, and you're going to say, well, preacher, tell me something new. Give me something novel. Give me something. There is nothing new. There is nothing novel. I mean, you might dig a little nugget up that's not been declared, but somebody's dug it up before. But I just want to share just a few little things. Just so simple, it's almost an insult to you. He listened to the Word of God. How was it Abraham received the full blessings of God? He listened to what God had to say. We live in a time that we don't listen. It's really so. I have actually stood before somebody and them talking to me and me not hearing what they're saying. Have you ever done that? I mean, the verbal sound is echoing on your eardrum. You're not hearing the word they're saying. Your mind is going ever which way. And I think there's a lot of talking going on in today's world, but there's not many listeners. In fact, we live in that fast age. Hurry up and give it to me. And let me go. I don't have time to listen. I don't have time to wait. I don't have time. I'm on a schedule. I've got 15 hours worth of things to do and 8. And you all know that. And that we come in the church and we can't wait to get out because we've got to get home, take care of this and this and this and this. And really, we don't listen. Our hurriedness, if that is a word, robs us of listening. If you were to go over to, maybe it's Matthew 13, I believe it's in the Gospel of Luke, where it mentions the word, some things that hinders the hearing of the Word of God. It's pleasures and cares of life. This morning, most likely, there's people not listening to me. Now, it all looks, y'all tuned in as far as it looks on the outside, but on the inside, you're not hearing. The fact of the matter is, I've got a word from God, and really you're not hearing God. And maybe it's cares, maybe it's pleasures, maybe it's riches. That was the other one I couldn't think of. They choke the word. And many times the preacher's up preaching. I could, sometimes it's outward. I know people's not listening. I have actually seen adults texting while I'm trying to preach. I have seen that. I have honestly seen that. I've seen folks that you're preaching and you're at the height of the point you're trying to get across, and they're talking to the children. And you know you have God's message. And here's God's people. God sent a message and give it to His messenger. And He's unloading it. God's people's not listening. You see, here's what I want to say to you. Abraham listened. He listened. And I know the devil brings distractions. I know if you have children, you have to deal with them. I understand all that. And I understand necessarily what's going on the outside doesn't mean you're not listening or you aren't listening. But when you're distracted, the fact of the matter is you can't listen like you ought to. Many times I have, you might even have you might even be focused or locked in on me, but your mind's 100 miles from here. And God has a message, and God's people's not listening. In Zechariah, if I can find that, I don't know if I can or not. But here's what they did. When the word came, they stopped up their ears. They refused to listen. A lot of God's people are like that. As long as I preach what they want to hear, and I don't get in their cupboard, I don't start messing with their sins, and everything's all right. But when I touch on their life, I'm turned off. God's message is put away. And so, here's what I'm trying to say. If we want the blessings of God, if we do, we're going to have to be hearers. Before anything else, you've got to be a hearer. And I would really just like to sit down and preach on some things that keep us from hearing. What about fatigue? What about fatigue? You sit up all night on Saturday, you come in, you're not fit to hear. You can't hear, you're too tired. I understand that. Here's what I think. I think there's a lot of preaching going on in our circles. There's not much hearing. Not much hearing. If you don't hear, that's the first step. I've got several scriptures we could say here. You know, the Word of God's not always been available. Fact of the matter is, it's slowly slipping away in our land. I could probably list you 20 churches you could go to in Blount County and not hear the Word of God. You could go in and sit down and be hungry and want a word from heaven, but you wouldn't hear it. But there is still some places you can hear. And what's sad to me, and the great tragedy of it is, God cares enough to give a message. The man of God cares enough to labor and try to get it, to unload it. And then there are God's people who won't listen and won't hear. My, we could say, and you might say this, why is that important? God did exalt His Word above His name. Is that not what it says in Psalm 138 and 2? His Word is so important. And sometimes we get these mindsets about us. I used to have this mindset. If a man wasn't hacking, he wasn't preaching. And it's almost a joke to me now, but I used to think that. I used to think preaching was hacking and teaching was not hacking, if I can say it that way. And really, a lot of times, if that preacher didn't have the mannerisms I thought he ought to have, I turned him off. I'm ashamed to tell y'all that. I just thought he wasn't spiritual. He hadn't been alone with God. He hadn't spent time with God. I just turned him off. How sad. Did you know there's still believers that if the delivery doesn't match what they think, they turn you off? How it is, Brother Miller. I love. There's a lot of people who don't like hacking preaching. I love it. I grew up on it. That's all I knew. For the longest part of my life, that's all I knew was that. And I love it. But can I tell you, I love all kinds of preaching. And I've got where I want to hear from heaven. I want a word from heaven. I come to church, I want a personal word from heaven. I don't want to come and I don't mind a good general message and a good general truth, but somewhere in that message I want God to speak to me. I need to hear from heaven. And so many of God's people, no wonder we're struggling. No wonder God's people's losing their loved ones and everything else. We many of us won't even listen when God sends a message. But Abraham would listen. Here he is. He listened to what God said. Well, you probably say to me, you're probably saying to me, well, my God would just come down and speak to me. Literally, then I'd listen. He's trying to. What do you think a man of God that has God's message is doing? He's declaring what God has to say about. God's trying to speak to you, but can I say this? We have also a more sure word of prophecy. If you was out there in the mountains and God spoke literally to you, by the time you got back to town, if you wasn't careful, the devil said, why, that wasn't what God said. You forgot. God said this to you. Aren't you glad we've got a Bible? And the devil says, that's not what God said. You can say, wait just a minute, devil, let me read it again. And we can go over there and read it again, and then we know what God said. And so we have a more sure word of prophecy. God speaks to us through the Word, but He sends us messages along the way. And I'm afraid we just don't listen. But Abraham listened, and that was the starting point for him being blessed. And then I probably should have started with this point. Abraham wanted all that God had for him. Abraham wanted all that God had for him. Notice, if I can read this to you, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. Here's what God's saying. You obey me and I'm going to bless you. And here's the blessing spelled out. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Here's what God said. Here's what I want you to do. Here's how I'm going to bless you. Verse 4. How do I know Abram wanted those blessings? So Abram departed. He wanted the full blessings of God. Now, I said this, and I've already said it, but let me say it again. Every one of you are blessed. We stand up here and we count our blessings, clothes on our back, food on the table. We live up to this point in the land of the free when it comes to religion. We can preach and come to church and the government doesn't interfere at this point. But and we can say this, we're blessed, and we are. But are we under the full blessings of God? Do we have all that God wants to bless us with? Here's Abraham, or Abram. I'm going to call him Abraham just to keep it simple this morning. Here's Abraham, and God said, here's what I'll do for you. You do this, and here's how I'm going to bless you. And so Abraham did it. Here's what I'm finding. God's people satisfied with the wilderness. Don't want Canaan, Brother Miller. They're like the 10 spies or the 600,000. Getting to Canaan's not worth the cost. There's some of you like that, I would suspect. I don't have a right to say that. But really, being in the perfect will of God is too expensive for you. Cost you too much to get there. And so, you're satisfied with the manna, the quail, the shoes that doesn't wear out, and you're just going to wander around till you die. Not Abraham. He wanted all God had for him. There has to be a want to somewhere in your heart for all that God has for you. I can't put that there. I've asked the Lord about that. Lord, how do you get that in the heart of your people that they want more of you? That they're not complacent. They're not satisfied. We can't shout it out once a month and that satisfies everybody. Well, we just want more of God, more of God, and more of God. We want to go on. We want to go as far as we can with God. How do we get that in our hearts? And all I can say to you is God has to do it. That's all I know. What made Joshua and Caleb want to wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, follow the Lord? I don't know. Here's what the Bible says. They had a different spirit. They had a different spirit. But can I tell you, if you don't want more of God, you're going to start backing up pretty soon. You can't just get to a certain level. Now you listen to the preacher, I'll help you with this. You can't just get to a certain level and say, hey, that's it. This is good enough for me. I'm having enough spirituality in my life. And yet, to go on would cost me more than I want to pay. So I'm just going to stay here. It doesn't work that way. You're not going forward, can I tell you? You're backing up. You're backing up. And here's a man that God said, here's what I'll do for you. And he said, I want it. I'll pay the price. I'll leave my family. I'll pay the price. We have to have that want to in our heart. Some way or another. I don't know. And if it's not there, I'm just going to say it to you. Maybe it's cold and hard. You're just not right with God. There ought to be a hunger in your heart for more of God. There ought to be something in your heart you want more of God. I don't understand that anything. And listen, I understand God's abiding down inside, but I'm talking about more knowledge, more closeness, more fellowship. There ought to be something inside that craves God. That desires God and wants more. Hey, I can't get enough of some of these meetings we have. Now, when the Spirit so real, it makes me want more and more of God. I think that's where Abraham was. God said, here's what I'll do. And he said, I want it. I want it. He listened to what God said. And he said, I want it. I want the Canaan life. If I can say it that way. There wasn't a Canaan then. I understand that. But he's saying, I want all that you have for my life. I'm not satisfied being a wilderness wanderer. I want more. Oh my. And so he heard the word of God, but I want to say this. He believed it. Oh, that sounds so childlike. He heard, he wanted, and he believed what God said. He believed God. So many times we hear things and we just will not put faith in the Word of God. I'll just read you this verse, 1 John chapter. Is it chapter 4, Brother Bud, where it talks about us asking? Chapter 5 and verse 14. Here's what it says, and this is for confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. That's a simple statement. Do y'all believe that? Really and truly, do you believe if you ask anything according to God's will, He hears you? Here's what I think you would say. Yes, I do believe that. I believe it too. I think I do. And if we, verse 15, and if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him.
Amen.
That's just the Bible. Sister Sharon was talking about household salvation a little while ago. I don't think that means you get saved and live like the devil in himself, and God's going to save your children and all that. But you get saved and you show your family the reality of salvation. I believe that's going to affect your family. I believe it. And I believe it's God's will to save our lost children. You do believe that, don't you? It's not His will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? I mean, it's plain to me. And I know what the Calvinists say, but they're just wrong. That's just how it is. They're wrong. God wants to save all men. He wants to save your lost children. And He said, if we pray according to His will to save, He hears us. And if He hears us, we have the petitions that we desire to. I believe Abraham believed God. He believed God. We're going to turn over to chapter, 15, I think it is, in a minute. And it's going to say his faith was counted as righteousness to him. He believed God. Do you believe God? That's a childish statement. I know it is. I'm standing up here and I'm thinking, where I sit and where you sit, and you ask me if I believe God, that insults me. But we prove whether we believe God or not by our actions. Many times you prove whether you believe God or not by your actions. Many times. He believed God. Let me say this, true faith always produces works. It always produces works. If you really thought God heard your petitions when you prayed in faith believing and that He would answer them, you'd do a lot more praying. You'd do a lot more praying. It always produces. It always will produce works. But you know the Word of God's ineffective if it's not mixed with faith. If you're not going to trust the Word of God, why come? For unto us, this is Hebrews 4:2, was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. I mean, they sat under the preached word And it was the Word of God, and it was preached, and it did not profit that crowd. Why? Why did it not profit that crowd? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. No faith. You're not going to trust the Word of God. That ain't no sense to listen at it. If you're not going to put your faith in it, it's not going to help you. If the Word of God doesn't change you, I'd have to think about it, but I'm wondering if it's helped you very much. Fact of the matter is, I believe the Word of God always changes you. It either draws you up or lets you slip back. It'll harden your heart or soften it, one or the other. The Word of God changes people. That's just how it is. You're sitting under me this morning listening. I'm preaching to you what I think God's message is for the morning. And what you do with it will either soften you and draw you closer to God, or it'll harden you and let you slip back farther away from God. If it's the Word of God, not talking about storytelling or any of that, the full blessings of God upon your life, it's contingent upon some things. You wanting those blessings. You hearing the Word of God. And you placing faith in the Word of God. And then the next step, and really you've got to obey what God says to do. That's the amazing thing. Here's what happened. It's happened to me 100 times. Amen, preacher. Back to the door. Good message this morning. And I appreciate that. I used to take that for granted. But I get a few of them now. I appreciate it when I get them. Good message. Good message this morning. That's the truth. That's the truth, preacher. You preached it right. And they go out the door and they never obey what God sent their way. That's it, Brother Al. You have to obey. You have to obey. God has some instructions, some commandments, whatever, however you want to say it, and He expects His children to live. Hey, He is the Lord. He gives the orders. That's what that Lord means. He's in charge. We're the servant, He's the master. He tells us what to do. We want His blessings. We do what He says do to get those blessings. If we don't do them, we enjoy the wilderness blessings. That's how it is. We're satisfied. And so He obeyed. And obedience, here's where we balk. We've got that line drawn and we're not going past it. Just not going to do it, preacher. I've lived my life this way, and I'm going to die this way. Well, you're going to miss all God has for you. You're going to miss it. Here's Abraham, and these were tough orders. I want you to notice what it says. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I'll show thee. Leave home. The best thing that could have ever happened in my life was for me to have been, it wasn't forced, but I felt forced, was to leave home. Not my mother and dad forcing me, but the circumstances of my life forcing me. And when I say home, I'm not talking about their house. I'm talking about the community that I grew up in. And you say, preacher, why was that? It was when I got away from all my support group that I had to lean on God. Karen can vouch for this. We didn't have anybody, just God. Just God. And for a while you get the phone calls. Some of you that's moved off know how that is. You get the phone calls for several months, and then all of a sudden everybody gets back in their life and you're just out there. And everybody says, why didn't you come down? Well, why didn't y'all come up? Well, we had this going. Yeah, that's right. You're living your life. We've got a life. But it was just us and God. No family. no friends. I never will. And maybe I'm just rambling this morning. I don't know, but on Friday nights we had nowhere to go. Well, we moved off down below Nashville for a while. Friday night would come, we had nobody. Nowhere to go. No money really to go out and do anything. Just us and God. That's a pretty big thing when God tells you just get out on your own. Can I tell you what Abraham did when God said for him to? What would your response be right now? Right now, if God said, leave what? Oh, I can't leave. That's my home. If he said this, go to Knox County. Some of y'all couldn't even go to Knox County. You couldn't even move over because you grew up Blount County. Here's what he told Abraham. Just leave it. Go to the land. I'll show you when you get there. That's called obedience. Obedience by faith. He obeyed. Can I tell you, obedience is necessary for the full blessings of God in your life. And we try every way to shortcut it. I see every trick. Well, I won't do that, but I'll be willing to do this. I'll do this. I'm not going to do that, but I'll be this. Hey, what God has for your life, He expects you to obey. And here he was. He obeyed. Peter said this one time. He was talking to the religious crowd. And he said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Do you know that's what you ought to do? You ought to obey God rather than man. Everybody knows what to tell you to do. Isn't that right? I mean, some of you young folks, did your parents not tell you? And listen, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about in you. You're married. You've got children of your own. But maybe you've got parents and they still say, here's what y'all do. Here's what y'all do. Here's what y'all do. And well-meaning, I do my children like that. I feel like I'll try to help them and keep them out of the ditch if I can. Maybe say something to help them. But the fact of the matter is, you ought to obey God rather than man. What's God want out of your life? What does God want out of your life? I'm not talking about some leap of foolishness. I'm talking about a leap of faith. Peter said we ought to obey God rather than man. My, we could look at this other. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. I won't go to the mission field, but I'll put in $250 a month to help with missions. Can I tell you what God wants? He wants obedience over your sacrifice. A lot of people put in money thinking that justifies and that okays them being disobedient. Not so. God wants you to obey. You know why Abraham received the blessings of God? He heard. He wanted those blessings. He believed God's word to the point that he would change his lifestyle over it. Here's what I say. You can preach on sin all day, but when you start preaching a message that changes people's lifestyle, that's when you get sideways. That's right. I can preach a lot of things as long as I don't mess with your program. As long as I don't upset your little way you've got your life going and stirred up. As long as I don't mess with that, I'm okay. But if I preach truth that says you have to get rid of your TV because it's wicked, then I've stirred it up. I've stirred up fervor. Or get rid of you ladies, get rid of your slacks. Then I've stirred it up. Because that changes your lifestyle. But can I just say this? The Word of God will change your lifestyle. The Word of God, that's what it's for, to change us and make us what God wants. Now listen, I'm not preaching on the television this morning. I'm not preaching on dress this morning. I'm just trying to get the point across that if I preach something that changes your lifestyle, there's a good chance many will, and even if it's going to bring blessings of God on your life, they will not hear. How did Abraham, a pagan, get the full blessings of God? He heard. He wanted God's blessing. He put faith in what he heard. He said, "Hey, I believe that to be so." And then he obeyed it. Then he obeyed it. Obedience. Here's what I ask you. I give you a piece of paper. The Holy Spirit's going to make sure you check it right. I am obedient, disobedient. What would your check mark be? Two boxes. I'm obedient or I'm disobedient. You had to be honest about it. My, I'm simply saying this, Abraham, for the full blessings of God, he listened. We don't even get past that today. We don't even get past that today. By the way, you know what his obedience produced in his life? Do you know what it produced? Every step of obedience, you know what it produced? Separation. He had to separate from his homeland. Had to separate from Lot. Had to separate from Ishmael. Isn't that right? They just kept separating. Hey, I'm afraid. I'm afraid one thing, it robs us of the full blessings of God. We're not separated. How are you going to run with the world's crowd all week, come in church and be ready to serve God? This thing of separation, that's God's way. I've got all the Scripture. I'm not going to turn and read it. I'm just telling you, God's people are separated people, and that's where the blessings are. If you're not, you're out. Here's what I'm saying. I'm just gonna quit here in just a minute. Here's what I'm saying. God has a Canaan for your life. He has the full blessings of God for your life. And it's a real simple formula. It's not complicated. You have to want it. You have to want it. I'm afraid too many of God's people, they don't want it. And you have to be willing to pay the price. And the price is this. You have to hear the Word of God. You have to listen to the message when God sends it. When you read the Bible, you have to listen to what's been, what the Scriptures has to say. And I personally think you ought to ask God to speak to you personally in every message. God, give me something for me. Give me something. He listened. He wanted. He put faith. He said, "I believe that to be so." And surely we believe the Word of God to be so. He believed it to be so and he acted on it. He obeyed. He separated. And can I tell you, God blessed him. God blessed him. Now really, Here's what I would say. Preacher, I knew all that. And this is probably, if you really want the truth of what I think, and I know this, maybe we'll go on the internet, I think y'all the cream of the crop around here. I really do, but I hope, I do pray we're not settling for wilderness blessings. I pray you're not settling for wilderness. I don't just want wilderness blessings. I want Canaan land blessings. And we're going to have to listen and believe and obey and separate. And if we'll do that, that's all Abraham did. That's all he did. And it came in different forms and different times. And I could tell you some other things. When he failed, he went back to where he started. We could say a lot about it. But basically what I said is it in a nutshell. He listened. He heard. He wanted the blessings. Put faith in it. He obeyed and he separated in God. And that obedience brought separation. I could stop at obedience, but it brought separation. And through that, Abraham was blessed fully by God. Church, I don't know. I said this, I don't know how to put that want to in your heart. In fact, God has to do it. I know He does. But if it is there, would you be willing? Would you be willing to just trust God's Word? And obey. Obey. And it'll be hard. Obedience is not easy to the flesh. And really I could talk about the enemies of obedience. And use Abraham's life. And maybe I ought to. But obey God. Would you do that today? Brother Allen, I don't know. Maybe just a little song, verse of some kind, one verse maybe. And I want to ask you today, are you obedient? Are you enjoying the full blessings of God for your life? Do you have hearing ears when God speaks to your heart? I want to ask you this evening, this morning, as God spoke to your heart. And I'm going to use the word again, if He has, would you obey Him? Would you obey Him? Brother Allen's getting ready to, he's getting ready to sing. And God knows your heart. He knows if you didn't listen. If you didn't listen, you're out of it. You're out of the service right now. But if He did, and He's made it personal in your life and spoke to you, would you obey Him this morning? Sing to us, Brother Allen.
More about Jesus I would.